Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today's daf is daf Kif Mem Dalid. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara is quoting from our Mishnah. Remember, what did we learn in our Mishnah? Let's take a quick look at the Mishnah again on Kif Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah gave us two examples, both of which happen to be almost identical. And we're talking about a Tfusa Sabayis. Tfusa Sabayis means an estate left over, for instance, by a father who passed away, and it has not yet been allocated and divided among the Yesaimim. So the Mishnah tells us, what happens if you have both older boys and younger ones, and the younger ones either are incapable, not sufficiently competent, not sufficiently qualified to go and take the estate and to work with it and to produce further income. So instead, the Gedolim worked on these Nechasim, Hishbichu Gedolim es HaNechasim. The older ones, they took the business in hand and they developed it, and Baruch Hashem, there was income. Zok the Mishnah, Hishbichu Le'amtza. That additional appreciation, that additional income, is split among all of the family members. However, Im Amru, if the Bonim Gedolim said, Rabbosai, we are going to work in this field, but we're going to work for ourselves. We're not going to work for everybody. And therefore, if you don't want us to, what you can do is split it up right now. We are ready for you to split it up. But if you're not ready, you're taking your time, you're zintahait, what we're going to produce and what we're going to make this property appreciate in value as well as income, we're going to take that for ourselves. So Zokta Mishnim Amru, if they gave notice, Re'u Mashini Yechava, look at this whole estate that Father left for us, Hari Anu Oisin, we're going to be happy to work with it. However, Ba'oichlin, we intend eating our profits and taking them for ourselves. Zokta Mishnim Bichla Atzman, that improvement goes to them. Since they made that declaration, and the Rishbam yesterday in the Mishnah said it in front of a Bezdin, and they said, Bezdin, Chevra, we are ready. If you want to divide and subdivide and allocate, you're zoom to height. But if you're going to go and sit and not do anything, we're going to work the field, we're going to work the Nechasim, and the income will be for ourselves. That's the first case of the Mishnah. We'll stop there. On to the Gemara, top of Kif Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So, Zok the Gemara on the fourth line, Amru, Re'u Mashiniach Abba. They gave notice and they said, look what Father left, Harienu Oisin V'Oichlin, we're going to take it for ourselves, Hishbich La'atzman, they're allowed to take it for themselves. So, what the Mishnah told us very clearly is that if one of the Yesaimim goes into the estate and works with it and does not give notice, any profits have to be shared by all. If he does give notice, then he can go and keep the profits for himself. See, Gemara tells us a story about Rav Safra, Shovek Avu Azuzi. Rav Safra, his father had passed away and left over an estate of money, and we don't know yet, but the Gemara will tell us in a moment that Rav Safra also had other siblings beside him. What did Rav Safra do with that money? Shuklinu, he took it. Ovid Boiska. And he invested it, and he made Baruch Hashem some money. So Osu Achai Tavu Bedina Kamei de Rava. His brothers now took Rav Safra in front of Rava, and they said, now, based on our Mishnah, you have to share with us the profit. Because after all, you didn't give us notice and say, I'm going to invest it, but only for myself. You took it, and you invested it stam. So all of us share in the profits. Rav said, Rav Safra is an exception to the rule. Rav Safra gavar rabu. Rav Safra is a groyser Talmud Chacham, and therefore, until now, he was sitting and learning and learning and learning and learning. The only reason why he left his learning for that period of time to go and invest, he did it because we needed to go and have somebody do it. However, he wouldn't have done that for the whole Olam. He did it the minimum necessary for himself, and therefore, this is one of those cases, says Rishbam, where although you didn't say an explicit notice, there is an implicit notice. If you look at the Rishbam, Leishavik Girsay, about 8 lines, 10 lines from the top, says Rishbam, Ukemisha Omar Re'u Mashi Niach Lanu Abedami. It's as if He didn't say it expressly. However, it's as if, because he is constantly learning, any tircha that he did, he was doing for his own benefit. He's not interested in going into business. He wants to learn another Blat Gemara. He wants to learn another Rambam. He wants to go and learn another Sikha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He wants to go and continue learning. He's not going to leave this learning to Terech Lachrini. He's only doing it for himself. So Rishbam now says, from this we see, it doesn't have to be Rav Safra. Anybody like Rav Safra, Avagavli Omar li Atzmi ani Oisa, even though he doesn't make that declaration, I'm doing it for myself. Kimandi Omar Dami Tishbiach li Atzmoi. Therefore, it's implicit that he can take the income for himself. He does not have to split it with the others. And the Mishnah continued on, the same thing applies not only to Yisayim, Ketanim, and Gedoilim, but also to an Isha. Going back to the Mishnah just for a short moment, says the Mishnah in the middle, V'cheinu Isha, the same thing applies to a woman, Sheshbiches ha-Nechosim, that she went and worked with Nechosim that were left over, L'choyre, by her husband, Heshbich ha-Liamza, once again, whatever work she did, that has to be spread among all of the assignment. She doesn't just take it for herself. However, in Amrav, she gave notice to her, ooh, mashinichli bali, look what my husband left for me. Harini oisa, I intend working with this property, with this estate. Boy, chelas, I intend taking it for myself. If she made that declaration, then in fact she gets the benefit of her work and of her labors. So the Gemara is now bothered by, back to the Gemara, Isha Shishbicha Sanachosim, Ishbicha Leemta, Ishbicha, I'm sorry, Isha, Benechzi Yasmi Mayavidita. After all, we learned in the first Mishnah of Yesh Nochlin that Ha'ish Es Ishtoi, a man is Noichel from his wife. But there is no similar halacha that the wife is noichel from her husband. So, Ibazoi, the husband passed away. Yes, she's entitled to her ksuba. She's entitled to mezoinis. But what is she meshing around in the Yerusha for? What's going on? Why is she busy with the estate? Isha b'nechzi yasmi ma'yavidita. What's she involved in? Amr b'yemiya. The Isha yoreshes is talking about an Isha that in fact did Yarshin after all. Now, how does an Isha Yarshin after all? So Rabbi Shabbam has a whole bunch of potential examples. The easy one, explains Rabbi Shabbam, is, for instance, Bas Ben HaBonois. What happens if you have one daughter among many? Just like the case of the Benois Slavchot. There were no boys, there were only girls. What happens if Chagla or Milka or Sirta or one of them would have worked the fields, worked the business on behalf of all, and did not make a declaration, then whatever profits inured to this estate would be shared by one and all.
She said Bali. She didn't say
If, however, this Chagla or Milka or Sirta said, Rabbeisai or Rabboniois, I'm going to work the field, I want you to know, if you want to go and share, you better share the toils and the labors too, because I am going to take all the profit for myself. She made that type of statement, Zot the Mishnah, then she would go and keep it for herself. The problem with that pshat is, as Barry was pointing out a moment ago, is that the Mishnah talks about Bali. And the case of Bas Ben HaBonois is not a case of a Baal, that's a case of... I'm sorry? These are all daughters of a father. Father passed away, and therefore the Mishnah should have said, "In Omra Ru'u Mashiniach Li Avinu," or Abba left for us, Hari Ani Oisav Achelis. But it doesn't say that, it says Bali. And because of that, Rabbi Shabbam has other Pshatim as well. How do you have that the wife should be a Yoreshes? So Shabbam says it's a case of the Moshel, Ru'uvein married his niece. His niece was the daughter of Shimon, right? Everybody remembers that in the Torah, Reuben and Shimon were the sons of Yaakov Avinu. Reuven married his niece, the daughter of Shimon, which is absolutely, totally permissible under Din Torah. Okay, he did that. Now, fast forward a few years, Reuven never passed away, and Shimon passed away. The only one that's left are Bnei Reuven and this sole young lady, Bas Shimon. And subsequently, Yaakov Avinu passes away. So who is going to now Yarshin from Yaakov? So we look at all of the Shvatim. In our case, it's Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is no longer here, but Reuven's sons are here. So Reuven's sons, they're going to go in Yarshim from the Zayda. No, Vizokti, Vizokti. You like so far so good.
So far so good.
So Reuven's children are going to Yarshim from the Zayda from Yaakov. Same thing is Shimon and his children. Well, there is no Shimon. There are no children, but there is one child. There is one daughter. Ah, the Bas Shimon. So Bas Shimon is going to go in Yarshin at the same time together with her cousins, the Bnei Reuven, and they're all going to go and share in the Yerusha left by Yaakov. So therefore, Bas Shimon, she was the wife of Reuven, also the niece of Reuven. Reuven is not here. Shimon is not here. She's going to go and share with all of the other kindalach in the next Yaakov. And that's what the Mishnah says, that if a woman were to say, and immediately Barry's going to go and say that still doesn't answer the question, because we're not talking about the Nechsei Reuven, we're talking about the Nechsei Yaakov, or perhaps the Nechsei Shimon, but we're not talking about Reuven. So l'chayr, this pshat is also a shver pshat. So this kasha is not only our kasha, it's Teishish's kasha. If you look at the Toisis, the Isha Yeresh, this is about halfway down the Omid on the left hand side. Zot the Tesvis. Pirish Bekuntis, he quotes Arishbam, Kigoin Reuven, Shinosa Bas Shimon Achiv, Umeis Yaakov Aviem, Viachach Meis Reuven Vishimon, Shoz Yorshin Bnei Reuven, Ubas Shimon Me Aviem, the Bnei Reuven, and Bas Shimon now all Yarshin from their fathers, meaning from their grandfather, from Yaakov. Uktas Kasha Lishna, so this was Shver, because the Mishnah says that Umashinichli Baali, the Master the Yarsha Mi Baala, Veloi Mi Yaakov. Shver of Shat. And therefore, Peter Shrivan, Ishia Reshes, how do we have a case? Again, Shinosur Uvein Bas Shimon Achim, that part is fine. Umes and Nebuch Reuven passed away. Vahoyu Leilur Uvein Achim Kitanim, Oi Bnei Achim Kitanim. Tehavu Yasmi. What's the situation over here? Yaakov is no longer. We have Reuven and Shimon and Levi Yehudi Sachas Vulan, Don Naphtali, etc. All of those brothers, they are Baruch Hashem alive and kicking, with the exception of Nebuch. Reuven has passed away, and Shimon has passed away. And Reuven, unfortunately, left no children. Reuven has no kids. So since Reuven has no ben, and he has no bas, who is going to go in Yarshin now, Reuven's Nechasim? I'm sorry? So the Chayra Yaakov, right? We had in the first mission in Perek Yesh Nachlin, first would be the Ben, and then the Bas, and then the Av, and then the Achim. Unfortunately, Reuven left no Ben, he left no Bas, Yaakov has already passed away. Who is going to Yarsha now from Reuven? Reuven's brothers. So therefore, Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun. Hey, one second. There is no Shimon. But Shimon has one daughter. Their daughter happens to be the former wife of the late Reuven. And she also happens to be the Yoreshes of Shimon, who is entitled to receive from Reuven because he is a brother. Shimon is Nishtar. And therefore, she, the daughter of Shimon, will now Yarshin from her husband, not because he was the husband. Coincidentally, he was the husband. However, at the same time, she was also the Yereshes, because she Yarshin Shimon's portion as the brother of Reuven. And says now the Vayit to the Toises, but he Yereshes as Bala, she's now Yarshining from her husband because of the fact that she is the niece, and therefore the replacement for the brother of her husband, Emartanim, together with the lady Yehudi Yisachar, who happened to be young kids, Shimamokim Avia, she is in place of Shimon. And therefore, getting back to our Mishnah, now the Mishnah does make sense, that if you have an Isha, a married woman, whose husband passed away, and now she's Yashining from her husband, not because he's the husband, but because it happens to be her uncle, and she happens to be the daughter of the of Shimon, etc. In such a case, im amr reuvashinich li bali, look what my husband left for me, not betoyras bal, but betoyras uncle, the brother of her father. What would happen in such a case? And yoisvaychelis, I intend eating for myself, unless somebody else wants to share in the labors and in the burdens. Ishbichel atzma, then she goes and keeps the shevach for herself. Anyway. Rishbam has another bunch of pshatim too. Ayin Sham, back to our Gemara. The important thing is the Gemara is telling us, Lav Davka, are we talking about and Stam and Isha? We're talking about an Isha that is also a Yoyreshes, and therefore she can make the same statement like we had in the beginning of the Mishnah. Safreit Gemara, Pshita, if that's the case, what in fact is the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? The Reish and the Sefer are really mirror images of each other. They're exactly the same. The Reish is talking about Bonim Gdoilim Ketanim, and the Sefer is talking about an Isha Gdoila with these Ketanim, and that she is taking care of them. So isn't it exactly the same halacha? Why is this repeated twice? Everyone, I'll tell you why. I would go and think. Kimin Dalav Darkal Mitrach. After all, normally a woman is called Kvuda Bas Melech Benima. The women didn't go out to work. They didn't go out to negotiate contracts, to do investments. They stayed at home and were the Akeris Abayas. So Avagabli Parish Kimoy the Parish Dami. I would think that this would be similar to the Rav Safra case above, that you don't have to say explicitly. It's implicit. A woman is saying is, I want to go and start becoming a groisa, a businessman or a business lady. I want to do the minimum to keep myself supported. And of course, I'm happy to help out the asylum, but I'm not doing a big business over here. So I would go and think that she should be able to say, I'm going to keep the profits for myself, because I wouldn't go out to be matriach li achrini, like we said by Rav Safra, kamash malon, that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you, unless she says explicitly, im amr ra'u mashniach li ba'ali, then all the profits, all the income, automatically is subdivided among all of the yisayim. She cannot take it for herself. However, continues the Gemara, quoting from the Mishnah Yim Amar, but if she gave notice, Ru'u Mashiniach Li Bali, look what my husband left to me, Harini Uzvechelis Hashbich Le'atzma, then she can keep the profits for herself. So if you are again Pshita, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Everything my mother said, I would think even the Shvich Alam Milza, the Amri Katorcha Kami Yasmi, Achule Achlo. I might have thought that she is getting accolades. She is getting so much flattering comments about her. She is trying to go and get remarried, presumably. And then on a resume, she has the names of 10, 12 people you can go and call, friends of the family, to go and find out about her. As soon as anybody calls up, they, wow, Mrs. Smith, what a wonderful person. You should see what she's doing. She's being matriach for the assignment, working night and day to help everybody out. I would think, when she hears all of this praise that's being lavished upon her throughout the community, Achuli Achla, she'd say, you know what, I'm going to be moichel. I'm not going to follow up on my original declaration that all the shvach will remain for me. I'm willing to share it with the kids, because after all, everybody says I'm working for the kids. So it would be a nice, appropriate thing to share all of these profits with the kids. Kamash Malan, if she made the statement that I'm working for myself, she's allowed to keep the income for herself, notwithstanding all the accolades and all the praise. And we put two dots over here and we start a brand new sugya. New sugya. Om Reb Chanina. The Gemara is going to talk about something which is a little bit foreign to us because we're not used to this concept. But it says over here, Amesi Isha Lebnoi Godoil, the Bayis Kenoi. The Gemara from time to time talks about a Beis Chasnas Lebnoi. A Beis Chasnas literally means the house of the Chosan, and by extension, the house of the Chosan Kala. And it has a double meaning. Number one, that's the wedding hall where the Chus and Kala get married. But in a broader sense, the Beis Chasnas means that's going to be their permanent residence. So in the good old days, what they used to do is that the father of the Chusin would go and get a contractor. They would go and build the house for the Chus and Kala. And they would send out invitations that the Chasan is going to be in that brand new home which they just built. It was a home that apparently could fit 800 or 1,000 people like our Chasanists today. Or maybe they were smarter than and they only had small Chasanists. They didn't have 800 or 1,000 people. But anyway, it was a house which was initially used for the wedding. And now after the wedding is over, the Chusin is wondering to himself, did Tati, did Daddy build this for me? Or is this going to be used by Daddy for something else or for other children? Or is he going to rent it out, etc.? So Agmara tells us, Hamesi Isha Libnoi Gadol, a person that gets a wife for his older son, we'll see what that means, but a Gadol in a moment, but he marries off his son to this young lady, Babayis, in this new Beis Chassis, which was just constructed, Kinoi, the Chosin has been Koina this house for himself and for his wife, to continue living in this house happily ever after. What was the kinyan over here? There was no kinyan. There was a kinyan of Ishus that he gave a ring to his kala under the chuppah. Yeah. But there was no kinyan in the bayis, so to speak. And the Gemara will say on the bottom of the omer, this is one of three halachos, which is a klas mili shavinu rabbanan ki hilchasa b'loi tama. There is no basis for saying that the son now has been koinit, but that was the minig, and that's what people did.
Isn't it using it as a way to get married, like a rafa paporta? If you demonstrate ownership by fixing the fence or adjusting something, then having your wedding ceremony in the house is equally a demonstration of ownership.
According to what you're saying now, all those people that get married, for instance, in the Ateris of Rome, at the end of the ceremony, should throw everybody out and say, it now belongs to us.
That's a spirit.
What happens if the Ateris of Rome guys and says, you free hall for tonight, I'm not charging. The caterer will charge, and this one will charge.
It's a serious question. The chuppah is a demonstration of ownership. And if it's accepted, then chazaka. Why is Rafa Baporta considered a chazaka? Because Chazal said so. So Chazal is saying, if you get married,
Rafa Baporta, you are doing something in the physicality of the property. You're taking a hoe, you're taking a shovel, and you're digging high and low, back and forth. Here you're talking about a person who is not touching the property except for he's standing on it and presumably they're dancing on it from time to time, either for 40 minutes or for an hour, and everybody gets nervous. When is they going to have the main course already? But the point is, he didn't do anything with the property itself. He is only singing and dancing and standing on the property.
He's using it.
So then according to what you're saying, anybody that stands on a piece of property, that should be the case.
In this scenario,
a kona, a lokeach, who paid $1 million for a piece of property, if he stands on it, is that a kinyan? No, he's got to do a rafik bapart. It's got to be a nafak part. It's kosher. He's got to do something. He didn't do a kinyan in the property itself. Anyway, the point is,
giving the ring, isn't that?
That's a gewaldig kinyan, but that's koina the wife. That's not koina the property. Anyway,
he did buy the property from him. He did buy his contract.
The father did that. The father owns the property. And now he says, Sonny, come on in, you're going to use this property for the chasana. After the chasana is over, Sonny's allowed to stay there and live there for the rest of his life together with his kala. However, we're going to see in the Gemara that this is a very, very limited, restricted law, and says the Gemara, V'davka Godol, it's got to be the Benoi HaGodol, V'davka Besula, he's getting married to a Besula, in other words, that she was not married previously, V'davka Ishter Rishoyna, that he was not married previously, V'davka Shesiyah Rishoyna, that not only is he the Godol, but he's getting married the first one in the Mishpucha. Ah, so in other words, what is the Gemara trying to tell us? What the Gemara is trying to tell us is that this is a tremendous simcha for the father after toiling for so many years together with his wife in raising these kids. Baruch Hashem, first chasana that they're making after 20 years of marriage, 22 years, 18 years, whatever it is, Baruch Hashem, the first chasana, this is a tremendous simcha for them. He's the gadol, presumably the b'char, and he's marrying for the first time a psula, and it's not the second time, etc., etc. All of these things, all of these ingredients together, it's his. But for instance, by the second son, or the third son, or the eighth son, this would not apply. And if he was now marrying the second time, it wouldn't apply. And if he's marrying a b'ula, not a psula, it wouldn't apply, etc., etc.
Good. Wouldn't apply.
This halacha about that he can keep the house.
What's a psula?
Psula. If he married a psula.
Yeah. Now, what is she, the girl that doesn't have a psula in the standard?
Well, now we're talking about as opposed to a grusha, or as opposed to a mother. Yeah. No problem. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, continuing the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, let's go and evaluate, or let's go into further details in this halacha. Says the Gemara, Pshita, What happens if the father, when he had this house built for the base chasis libnoi, it wasn't just a one-story house, but it was a two-story house, and it was a two-family house. In other words, a chusin kala can live on the first floor, and the second floor we can rent it out to somebody else, or maybe give it to the next son.
Next kid,
yeah, exactly right. So in that case, it's pshita, the bayis kana liyalei kana. He only was kana in this halacha that we just had now, he's only kind of that first floor where he was had his chasana, where they got married, but he's not kind of the entire house, not the second floor.
Maybe
now,
he
should be able to go and rent it out.
Yeah. Umar
is trying to limit the novel halacha over here, because after all, the son didn't pay a penny for it, and the father is being super generous, and we're saying if the father wants to give him, you know, father wants to build him a skyscraper in London, Gizentai. But if he's only giving him the minimum that he's being generous about, then that minimal generosity is the first floor. He didn't give him both floors. Now, bayis v'chsadra ma'u. What happens if the bayis has in front of it a very nice porch? Question is, the chasana took place in the bayis. What's the story with that porch? Is the porch included or not as part of this magnanimous present of the father? Ma'u. What happens if one of these railroad apartments where you have an inner home, an inner apartment, and then there's an outer apartment? The chasana took place in the inner apartment, so they certainly get the inner apartment. But to get to the inner apartment, you have to go through the outer apartment. So obviously he had a right of entry and exit, that's fine. But is that right so... is the scope so wide encompassing that he can go and take the outside apartment too? Is that considered to be an adjunct to the inside apartment? Simora says on these two shaylos about the bayis v'chsadra and the shnei batim zelef namizeh, both of them are taiku.
Earlier in the parak, if you sold one bayis, if you didn't sell the v'chsadra, I mean, they are considered two separate legal entities.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we suddenly just saying now it's a taiku? He had already clear if the father built them and sold them, he sold the bias, he didn't sell the exadra. So exadra didn't sell the bias, etc. So why are we now suddenly?
Is there a difference between a moicher and between a nois and matana? Take for instance, every time we speak about your case, or a person is selling, for instance, his bar of a dus, and he's leaving the karka for himself, he's leaving the field for himself. After the dust settles, they've closed, and now the person wants to get to the bar of a dus, the person wants to get to the field, and it's interfering with the other person's rights. So, according to Rabbanan, you got to go and buy the rights for the right of entry, the right of invading the other person's property. And what did Rabbi Kiva say? He wouldn't have to go and buy. So here we're giving a matana. So the question is, how magnanimous is this matana? He's giving him the house, but is he also giving him the outer apartment, or maybe just the inner apartment? And those things more shy of take. You're telling me as a double pashit that when the father goes and builds his base chasnas, it belongs to the son. The father was miyached a bayis, our case over here. Uklei bayis, together with the furnishings, not just the property itself, but also the furniture. He also bought from him mechvayis, tables and chairs and whatever. Uklei bayis kana. Bayis like kana. Which is more or less in accordance with today's standards, if you will, or customs, where the parents of the father, the parents of the, in other words, the parents of the chusin, the parents of the kala, or both, go and buy the various furnishings for the house. Maybe the son is buying a house, or he's going and he's renting, and they are buying the furnishings. So the furnishings daka belong to the chusin kala. Yeah, the kli bayis. Yeah, but the bayis like on it. We just said now that the bias is nikna. The Gemara could have said it's talking about it's not the God oil, it's a younger one, it's not a psula. The Gemara gives a different
tariff. The Gemara is Yachalai. Gemara is very specific.
Yachalai.
It's not Kanalai. I'm setting aside for you, but I'm not buying it for you. The Gemara is very. The Lush.
It's not Lush and Matana. Designated is not Lush and Matana.
If you go back a few lines earlier by the Pshita, yichid le'aviv bayis valiyah, bayis kana li alei kana. So there also the Torah, the Gemara used the expression yichud. Yichud means that he set aside, designated for his son, this bayis for purposes of the wedding. The wedding, Baruch Hashem, took place, l'mazel tov, and it was a gvaldi gechasid, tremendous simcha. After the dust settled, the bayis kana ali alei kana.
Yichud also?
Pshita, you see the line begins, pshita. Pshita yichud le'yavid. Okay, no problem. Everything. But bear in mind, part of the wedding ceremony is also part of the, you have to go to the ched yichud also. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara. So he gets the clay bias, but he doesn't get the bias. So now we have to start thinking outside the house, or outside the box. What's the pshat? Oh, so the Gemara is telling us yet another constraint or limitation on this halacha. It's got to be crystal clear that the intention of the father was to leave this house for the chusin kala. What happens if the father, by the way, is using this house for oitzrois, storage for his precious jewelry or precious possessions? So he's saying, I still want to use it. Oh, so that's already a gilui das of the father that he is not giving this beis chassis to his son. And it doesn't have to be dafkin oitzer where you're putting away jewelry. Even doyami afilu shoifcha dioini. Even if he's just leaving over there a small dove cut for a few doves coming in and out. Nevertheless, by the fact that he's using it for storage for anything, and he more gives other examples. Rav Yehuda bar Papi Amri Afilu Atzisa Deharsina. Busaisin Otis is usually used in the terms of a flower pot, but here it doesn't mean a flower pot, it means a kli of Harsina. Harsina is, says Rishbam, Dogim Mitugonim Bashemin, fried fish. You have a kli full of fried fish. They are standing there in the refrigerator in the house, which was the wedding house, the base chasnas. Why, father, are you leaving your fried fish there? I'll tell you why. Because I still intend using this house for myself.
It's still my house.
And similarly, Marzutra Intzeve Libre, Marzutra married off his son, Vitalei Sandla. And he made sure in the middle of the big room when you walk in, he nailed to the wall his sandal. He put on the shoe hanging up from the wall. What he meant to say is, I'm putting my foot down. That's why he had to take the shoe off. And by doing so, he is shooing away the chasen colony, saying, it's my house. I'm using it for myself. I'm not using it for you. I'm not giving it to you. And similarly, Rav Ashi Nasvi Lebrei, Rav Ashi also married his son, V'tolei Ashisho de Mashcha. What's that? Ashisho de Mashcha, says Rishbam, Kois Mole Shemen. He hung up, I guess, from the wall somewhere, a kois full of shemen, probably similar to what you see in some people in the Alter Tzaden on their schach of the sukkahs. He used to have containers of different types of things, wine and shemen, hanging from the schach. So here too, he was hanging from somewhere in the apartment, some sort of flask full or a kois full of shemen to show, I'm the boss, it belongs to me. Anyway, the point of all this Gemara is that this halacha of the base chasis l'nai is a very, very narrow, focused halacha. It's got to be crystal clear that that was the father's intentions. First of all, it's got to be that the son is the gudoil, he's marrying for the first time, she's marrying for the first time, it's the first chasin in the family, and also that the father is not using this for storage for any other item or any other thing, and therefore it belongs to that gudoil after they get married. The following three halachos are like a hilchas b'leitama. We already use the expression hilchas b'leitama. I mean, it's almost like halach l'moshe v'sinai, that whether or not you're happy with it, you're not happy, you can stand on your head. Azayis doesn't da halacha b'leitama. The b'leitama doesn't mean that the chum did it because they had no logical reason. It's a wonderful thing that fathers and mothers and shvers and shvigas should go and help out their children. Of course, that happens with manazet too. But what he means is that the mechanics don't have a tam. Meaning, the fact that he stood there in the house and said hariat mukudashisli and all the rest, that doesn't establish ownership. That just establishes that they're getting married. So that's the b'leitama, that the mechanics don't have any particular basis to go and say that he has now become the owner just because of the fact that he married his wife there, and because there was a suuda there, that in itself doesn't show baalus, it doesn't show ownership. So one of the three is what we just discussed. Either what are the other two? The Amr of Yuna Mishmuel, Hakoisin called the Chosam, the Ishtuli Asoa El Apitropa. Person went and wrote out in a last will and testament that he's giving all of his Nechosim to his wife. And he's allowed to go and do that because he's saying it Mayoim al Achamisa, and therefore, like we had in the Gemara before, in the Mishnah before, this is permissible. Now, normally, if you go and write all the chasim for your wife, that means now she's going to become a wealthy lady. She's going to have now the all in the chasim. Zokta halacha nein. She only becomes an apotropis. An apotropis means she becomes the executor. She becomes the guardian. But none of the nechasim belong to her. Does that make sense? Whether it makes sense or not, it's kehilchas of leitam. Azoy uses that she becomes the apotropis.
It still says as altar shirusha. She's only the apotropis.
She's only the apotropis. If you look at five lines from the bottom of the, let's go back to the Rishbam. Oh, okay. Shavinu Rabban, about six lines to the bottom.
Zuk to the wife gets here, the Yorshim get the wife's out.
Seven lines to the bottom. Shavinu Rabban. The Rabbanan made the following three halachas. Heim Toknuis Advarim Kach. They were Mesakein. They instituted these rules. Avbishayna Din Torah, even though there's no basis in the Torah. Kimidu made them. This is, they felt that this is the right Mida, the right thing, the right regulation to make for public life. Chodaha, Hamesi Isha Lebnoi. Why? Lechvoid haChasan shegnai hadaver losis isha vein makom lodabai. Can you imagine? You get married, and after the chasan is over, then the chasan says to Tati, "Where am I going to sleep tonight?" It's very embarrassing. So therefore, it's a gnai. Lechvoid this svar is broad enough that it should include all the children. But apparently, the Tekanas Chacham at least was for the first son. Abu Trapa, the Anan Sadi, the Oka Nachlas Abonim, Fleniskavlish Hebdu Abonim, Itosha Oichlan Al Yoda. We are Anan Sadi, in other words, public policy, public perception. The reason why the Chum instituted this rule is because a normal individual would not leave his children without any possessions and giving everything to his wife. The reason why he gave it to his wife is so that the children should mechabit her and should make sure to go and take good care of her. These children may be the children of that wife, or they may be stepchildren, children from another wife. But the point is, he appointed her as the guardian. So anytime they need any money, they know that they have to call up, "Hey, mommy, we'd like to have this, we'd like to have that." They have to go and give her covet if they want to get some of the nechasim, or they want to get some of the profits. The third halacha, says Gemara, is idach the omerav. Manli biyodcha teneu leplaini b'mamich. Lashdan. Is kana. This is similar to, but different than the shibud of Rav Nosson. Manli biyadcha. A person goes over, for instance, to a shoymer who's holding for him, he chvais $100 to go and take care of it. He says, "You know what? Don't give the money back to me. Give it back to Yanko." Even though there was no kinyan, meshicha, hagba'a, chalipin, or anything else, if the owner of the money says to the shoymer, "Don't return the money to me, but rather go and give it to that third person," automatically it is nikna, even without a kinyan. Last Rishbam, kana, kach toknu chacham, vishadover, shahadover, todir hu, bein habriyas, since this is something which happens on an ongoing basis, leskiku chacham lahatnois bekinyan ube'edemus. The Chacham said, "This is enough. You make that statement. Mamish Loshen is kana. Those are the three things. Hilchas of Baitamas of the Mishnah. Achen Ashutvim. Yeah, Rabbi Cohen. Yes.
Why is it that you have Mamish Loshen and you have paid them for two? Why should you always have Mamish Loshen? Why can't you have two of these? That's
Rabbi Cohen here asked a very good question. I didn't explain this sufficiently. Mamish Loshim doesn't mean that we have three people like a Bezdin or like Edim. We mean that the three people that are involved, we have the Mafkid, we have the Nifkad, and we have the person who's going to receive these funds. The Mafkid left $100 by the Shoymer, and he says to the Shoymer, "Shoymer, give the money to Yankel." Yankel is the third party. This is the Mamich Loshton, the three people together, the Mafkid, the Shoymer, and the Mekab. Dr. Mishnah. You have, again, a tfusis abayis. Tfusis abayis, again, means you have an estate which has not been split up yet. And you have the brothers there. And one of the brothers has now been conscripted by the melech to work for the melech for instance, for the next month. What is he going to do for the next month? As we'll see in the Rishbam, Rishbam tells us that in the good old days they didn't have professional IRS tax collectors, but rather the melech would go and select from prominent families throughout the community, that each one of these families would have to produce one member who, for instance, would be the tax collector for the month. After he was finished, he would retire, and then we would go on to family number two, and then they would also have to produce someone to be the tax collector for that month. During that month, as the tax collector could earn money. How did he earn money? The Rishbam doesn't address this, but the other Rishonim say it's talking about that, for instance, what happens as tax collector, he already collected money on the first day of the month, and he's only going to give it to the melech at the end of the month. So in the meantime, he puts it into a 30-day CD. Or he invests it in some commodity, or he buys some Google stock, or whatever. Anyway, at the end of the month, Baruch Hashem, it has appreciated. Who gets the benefit of the appreciation? Nafali Emtza, it's shared by all of the brothers. Why is it shared by all the brothers? Because the assumption is that the reason why this particular individual was conscripted is not because of he himself, but because he's just a member of the family. The Smith family in the month of January has to go and produce one voluntary, involuntary tax collector for the community for the month of January. So the king said, okay, Smith family, who's here? Ah, Jack Smith, you're conscripted for the next month. So Jack Smith works very tirelessly on behalf of the Melech. At the same time, he earned a couple of dollars from investments on the side. Those couple of dollars have to be shared with the entire Mishpoche. Look at the Rishbam at the top of the Omid. Hachigasinon, Achra Shutfim, Sotrishbam. Umnus HaMelech, the umnus that we're talking about is not just any umnus. We're talking about the umnus of the Melech. Shemachmas Oviv, because of the late father who was the patriarch of the family. Nafal the umnuzu, this son, he is the one that was now conscripted to go and do this avodas hamelech. Shekein minig hamelech, that was the minig of the melech. Ma'amid mibayizu, from each family he would go and take a moiches, a tax collector, chodesh echad. Umi bayizu, and then a month later he went to the next bayis, chodesh echad. B'chein mikol bati'ir. He had 12 families in the town, or maybe at 24, or whatever. Anyway, they would do a rotation, they would go and take one family at a time. So the reason why this fellow, Jack Smith, was conscripted is not because of him individually, but because of the family. So any investments that he makes, any profits, are shared by Nafali Emtza. Continues the Mishnah. Chola v'nisrapi, what happens if he gets sick and we need to pay the doctors and the medical bills? Nisrapi mishal atzmoy, the medical bills comes from his own pocket and not from the estate. Is a machloekes ha-meforshim whether this is a continuation of the previous case. And this Chol v'nisrapi is referring to the Jack Smith who's working for the king. And the profits are shared by all. But nevertheless, if he has medical bills, those are his own overhead expense. Or are we talking about any one of the children? In other words, it has nothing to do with the previous ratio. This is a brand new case. That any one of the kids in the family that Chas v'Shalom has special needs because he needed a refuah. This is not shared by the entire estate. This comes from his own allocation, from his own portion. And we'll see in the Gemara shortly that this itself is only in a case of a choyli b'pshia. Choyli b'pshia means that he himself brought this illness upon himself, as opposed to a person that unfortunately was struck by some sort of terrible illness having nothing to do with the way he conducts his life.
The Gemara said that the guy was choyli, stam choyli, and the estate would have to share his medical expenses.
We're going to talk about which type of choyli. That's going to be the... Please stay for the... this is very important for you.
Jacques
Dimar, Tana. We learned in the Braisa. High umnus, the umnus that we spoke about in the Mishnah, Shenofel Echem Mehem, the umnus. What type of umnus? The umnus HaMelech, like we just spoke about, like Rishbam told us, umnus HaMelech, meaning that he was the moches for the month. Turn about, we learned in the Braisa. Echem Eno Achen Sheminu Gabay, Oy Pulmustis. The Gabay over here doesn't mean a Gabay in a Bismedish. The Gabay of Pulmustis means that he also had, he was appointed with some sort of, to be some sort of government officer or official. A gabai is like a magistrate. A pumusta says Rishbam is a shoiter. Shoiter means like a policeman, a security person. Anyway, all of these guys, emachmasu achen liachen, emachmas atzma liatzmai. Why did the king or the government appoint this particular individual to be the gabay or pelmustis, to be a government officer? If it's just that he is one of the family, and now it's the turn for the Smith family to go and cough up one of the sons or one of the brothers, that they should go and do this public administration, so then whatever profits that he gets, whatever income, is shared by everybody, because he's just a representative of the family. However, if he's appointed because of himself, in other words, there is no such rule, Smith family, Jones family, but the king at willy-nilly can take anybody, so therefore he just said, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he picked out Jack Smith, having nothing to do with the rest of the family, then he only shares it with himself, he doesn't have to give it, doesn't have to share it with the rest of the mishpuch. If the reason why he was chosen is just he happens to be a representative of the Smith family, everybody knows Jack Smith and Joe Smith, they're all wonderful boys, and the king needed one of them and he took one of them, so of course it's shared by everybody. So all the Smith boys are all bright kids, but one of them happens to be super bright. Now to say the reason why he was chosen wasn't eeny, meeny, miny, mo, but it's because he is Jack Smith. Kamash Malon, if it's Machmas Achim, if it's the Smith family, even though Taka Jack is smarter than Joe Smith, makes no difference. Bottom line is, it's because the Smith family, it's a representative, he shares with everybody.
How do we know? I mean,
what's the meaning of the Mukkim?
It's the fact that the family thinks, but we want Jack, not Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because, you know, Jack is the. It's true.
However, there are 12 families in town. Smith family gets January, Jones family gets February, McGillicuddy gets March. So now in the Smith family, they said, okay, who are we going to choose among the Smith family? We're going to say Jack. Would they have taken Jack Jones that month, even though Jack Jones is super brilliant? No. It's the Smith family that has to do it in January. So it's not true they took Jack rather than Joe. Maskin. But they took him because he's a member of the Smith family. Even if he would be super brilliant, that's Loi Mavli Moirid. It's the Smith family that's devoting somebody for that particular month. What happens if one of the brothers received from the estate 200 to go and learn, or to go and learn an umnus, a trade, that they're entitled to receive because of the fact that we had the previous perek that you have to give support from the estate? It doesn't say that this is a bonus over everybody else. The presumption is that this will be allocated to his allocation. In other words, you still have the tvusas abayis, you have that whole estate. You have to have an accountant that's going to go and put up together a chart for all 10 kids. And they're going to say, for the first kid, we gave him 200 lima taira, for the second kid, lima umnas, third kid for something else. And eventually, when they subdivide it, they will make all of the cheshbonos and subtract and add accordingly. But the main focus of this braisa is this ach, or this son, wants to continue receiving mezoinos. The brothers can go and say to this brother that went to Lumay Torah, Lumay Umnas, if you're going to go and live with us in the same house, we're going to continue supporting you in terms of food. If you're going to live in the Pnimiya, in the dormitory, or you're going to go and live somewhere else, you're going to rent your own apartment, we're not going to go and give you food. What difference does it make where this fellow lives? After all, everybody is entitled to go and get food. The Mishnah beginning of Misha Meis, first Mishnah was Misha Meis, the Niach Bonum of Bonois, is Manchin Achosim Rubim HaBonim Yishav HaBonois Yizoinu. If it happens to be a smaller Bonois Yizoinu and a Bonim Yishav HaPsochem. But we see that one of the basics of an estate is to go and supply Mizoinus for the boys and for the girls. So this fellow over here, he wants to go and get Mizoinus. If you live with us, no problem. You're going to move across the street, then we're not going to give you. Why? The reason is because the birchas abayis, if you have the more in the house, that brings the blessing. So that's the literal translation. What the Gemara really means to say is that the overhead is the same for four as for five or as for six, or perhaps small differences. Let's not only talk about, for instance, food. Let's talk about lemarshal electricity. If you have an apartment and you have to pay electricity, whether or not one person is using the apartment or 20 people using the apartment, the same light bulb is going to light up the same. Exactly right. So therefore, if you want to move across the street and you want to have your own electric bill, that's no longer part of the Birchas Habayis Beruva. So the Birchas Habayis Beruva means that the blessing of the household is that you share the overhead with so many different, with a bigger headcount rather than with a smaller headcount.
There's always a question of food.
I said as an example. Unfortunately, I can't go and say 20 sentences without breathing in between. When it comes to food, if you've ever had an unexpected guest come for Shabbos, you have, Baruch Hashem, five people around the table, and you come home Friday night and you say, "My dear wife, I have good news for you. I brought along a guest for Shabbos." What would the wife say? It's not a problem, because once I cook for five, for six people, all I have to do is cut a little here, add a little there, and there's enough for everybody. The soup, all you have to do is either add a little bit of water, or I'll just give smaller portions. Same thing applies to the fish, and same thing applies to the chicken, etc. If you are cooking for a few people, one more is not going to make much of a difference. That doesn't make any difference, but it's a very modest or minimal, marginal difference. Mashenkin, if the person lives across the street, then he has to make agantza kocharai for himself, because after all, he's living by himself, he needs to go and cook for himself, and therefore that's already a brand new undertaking. So what the Gemara is telling us is that if you live together with the rest of the brothers, mezoinis for all the 4, 5, 10 children, so just add a drop more for the 11th child. Mashenkin, if he moves out and he moves across the street or somewhere else, he has to have his own kitchen and his own kocharai. That we're not paying for. Right, Timara? The less we lay the fee, Birchas Habayis. Okay, maskim, you don't have to pay for that huge difference because he has his own household, but at least go and give him the modest or marginal difference that they would have had to supply for another son. If they were cooking chicken, they'd have to go and do another eighth or a quarter of a chicken. At least give him that amount. When we said over here in the Braisa that they don't have to give him anything, it means they don't have to give him a major allocation according to his food bills. If he sends us food bills on a regular basis, we tell him we're not going to pay such huge amounts. We'll pay a modest amount, the amount that it would cost us if he would be living together with us. This is the case at the end of the Mishnah, which the doctor was inquiring about. Shalach Rav Mishmed Rabbi Yilah, lo yishonu, that we said in our Mishnah, that the choyle rachmanu litzlan, he has to pay for his own medical bills from his own allocation, from his own amount, ele shechole bipshia, that's because he got sick as a result of negligence. Aba oinis, if unfortunately HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and struck this person with some sort of machla rachman litzlan, this person is totally off the hook in terms of he had nothing to do with it, then the family does have to go and pay for his medical bills. How does a person become sick as a result of negligence? It's a cold day outside. It's 20 degrees. And the person says, "Yeah, I'm a strong fellow." And he goes out in his underwear, or he wears his bathing suit outside. And guess what happens? He catches pneumonia, and he catches the flu, and he's in the hospital for 4 weeks, and with the antibiotics, and with the doctor, and with the nurses, and it's cost the chashayin, the poor dollar. Oh, mister, you brought it upon yourself. Why didn't you go and wear a coat or a sweater or this or that or the other thing? It's not the fault of the family. He's got to pay from his own money and not from the money of the estate. That's a separate halacha. Hakav Yerushimayim Chutz Miyirushimayim means that everything is preordained by the one above. Yerushimayim is something you bring upon yourself. Yeah, okay.
So you can't say Hakav Yerushimayim.
Yeah, okay. So this is talking about.
Okay, yeah. Leave that door.
Yerushimayim, he take care of himself.
Rabbi Cohen, if you look at the Toysis, Hakav Yerushimayim, you see the middle Toysis, Hakav Yerushimayim Chutz Miyirushimayim Pachim?
Yeah.
You see that? So go about 8-10 lines into the Tosis. V'loy dami
Lahadi Amr Hakam de Shemaim Chutzmi Yerushamayim. They were talking about something else. They were talking about midos of a person. Is he going to be strong? Is he going to be weak? Is he going to be oish? Is he going to be an ani? Here we're talking about whether he's going to Chas Shalom be sick. Anyway, the toys is Mamish Machavin to Rabbi Cohen and ask your kasha. Doctor Evil Tabazung.
No.
Oh, you were also. Yes.
He was a doctor. Remember the Libyan donkeys, the white donkeys?
Yeah.
He was attentive to Pachim Kadim.
Very good. What's in Pachim? Good. Excellent. So just finishing off what we said when we were learning the Mishnah is a machlokes mafarshim now that it said in the Mishnah that chol v'sap v'sap mishal atzmai even by pshia, well pshia for sure is mishal atzmai. But what happens if it's chas v'sholem b'derech chaynis? Our Gemara said no, then the whole estate has to pay for it. This is machlokes. This is referring to only the case of the godel achin who has taken upon himself to run the estate, or he's been conscripted as the tax collector, and therefore that income is being shared by all. So similarly, the medical bills are also shared by all for that particular individual. Or is this a separate halacha? It's talking about any of the boys, regardless. You're conscripted, nish conscripted, any one of the boys of Chas V'Shalom, they get sick. And it's not a pshia, it's an ones. Where the Gemara said in such a case, he gets paid, mishal emtza. Does that apply to the other boys as well? And that's what really machlokes, how you learn pshat the Mishnah. If the seif is only talking about a conscripted case, somebody's working for the entire estate, and therefore he shares the profits, therefore we have to go and share in the overhead medical bills, or this is a separate halacha that applies to any one of the kids.
It's a chosel b'shir some of the onus. Let's say it was beautiful outside and you've been overdressed if you wear a coat. And the temperature drops 40 degrees after a rainstorm and now suddenly it's freezing.
Yeah.
I would think such a case would be an onus.
So the Mishnah. Now, achad she'asa miktas and shishbinus b'chayi o'av chazer shishbinus. Chazra or Chazor is the emtza.
I think Barry's making the point. Who makes that decision? Who makes that call? Whether it was
that call is not made by me because that's beyond my pay grade. That you have to learn halacha. Take out the Shulchan Aruch, look at the Rambam, ask a Poysik. Al pi svara, the difference between an oinus and between a pshia is: did he know about this or didn't he know about it? If everybody in town knew that it was going to go down from 70 to 30, and this is the only idiot that doesn't know, maybe he's a pshia for that too.
Between case, there's got to be somebody deciding. So Rabbi goes, the Rabbi passes.
You have to go into the Rabbi, right? Look the Mishnah. Now this is again something which is somewhat foreign to us, just like the Beis Chasanis was a brand new novel idea. This is also in a sense a novel idea. And what is this all about? The minig was in the good old days that when a young man got married, his close friends would be the Shushbinin, which means that they would go and celebrate with him Agan Teshev Brachas, and they would come and go and they would be there to go and show him support. And show all mit tanzen and mit springen and mit singen asetan lebedik for the entire week, and they're called the shushbinin. And in addition to everything else, the main focus of that mishnah is that they would also bring a lavish present for the chusin kala, specifically for the chusin, to go and show their closeness and how they are really in this together, all for one for all. Ah, givaldik. That part is understandable. What becomes a little bit more difficult is what our Mishnah tells us, and as we'll see in the Gemara, that this wasn't just, it was magnanimous and it was generous. However, it was assumed that there would be total reciprocity. And that is that when this friend came to go and share in the chasen simcha, that eventually when he gets married, then the earlier chasen is going to go and share in his simcha, and he's going to give him a similar present. It is so much the standard custom, at least in the times of our Mishnah, that if there was no reciprocity, if the original first chosen did not reciprocate and give a present to the friend, you could take him to Bezin and force him to go and give a present. Because this was almost like a halva'a. This wasn't a generous present, but this is a loan. I'm helping you now to go and support yourself, to go and pay for all the parties and pay for the Sheva Brachas and whatever. But Mitchell, when I get married, you better make sure to go and pay me back. That's what we call payback time. I'm sorry? I'm another Matanah Minaslach here. Okay, but it's not the same Matanah because the money is fungible. Anyway, good.
So that's all pretty standard. What are we bringing this for in our Mishnah of Mishamas? Because what happened was, who is the one that supplied the money to the friend to take it along to the Chusen? Abba! Ah, Abba Baruch Hashem. What did somebody say? Who just bought this new property? He had a PhD. What means he had a PhD? Papa has dough. So here the papa has dough, and he gave money for the son to be the shujiz. Out the toilet. Anyway, okay, so the father gave the money. And guess what happens? Now, Baruch Hashem, 3 years later, 5 years later, now this son, this friend, has now himself become a chosin. And now the original chosin has to now reciprocate. Who does he give the money to? Remember, the money didn't come from the pocket of the friend, it came from the friend's father. Zok the Mishnah, when chosin shishbinis, when he reciprocates, Chazorli emtza. It doesn't go to the new chusin, but rather it goes to the entire estate. All the brothers share in this returned love. Shashbinis. We are wondering, why does a person have to reciprocate? Shashbinis nigdav bezdin. Because you can even go to bezdin because it's in the form of a loan. If you look at the Rishbam, kidin malva or milva avim, as if it was a loan from the father, now you're returning the love. We're going to see mentioned in the Gemara, it's not so simple. What happens if Shulech Lechaber Kadi Yam Kadi Shemin? What happens if a person Stam sends a present to the chasen of somebody else? He sends him a bottle of wine or a casket of wine or whatever, or of Shemin. Now, why did he go and send him in the first place? Rishbam says, B'loy Chupa Stam, he sent him a present. He allowed to send presents to people. Or, says Rishbam, he sent it to the Chupa Soi, he sent back the card. I'm sorry, I cannot make the wedding, but he sends in a check anyway. So since that's not a full shushbinis, that's just a gemilas chesed, when the other person afterwards gets married, he does not have to reciprocate. It's a gemilas chesed, you can't go to bed. Okay. Break the Gemara mini. The kasha of the Gemara is going to be on the first halach of the Mishnah. The father passed away. The shushbinis, we said, goes li'emtza to all the brothers. If the father sent along money with the son to the chasana, and when the money comes back in reciprocity, and the father passed away, it goes back to the same fellow, the same friend that brought the money in the first place. Reuven went and shared in the simcha of the original chasin. Reuven now is getting married, Baruch Hashem, 3 years later. The chasin sends the reciprocated present to Reuven and not Liemta. It's the Chma Mishastira, our Mishnah with the Braisa. And that's the Gemara's Kasha. But before we finish off and get to the Teretz, we have to finish the Braisa. And the second part of the Braisa is Shtalchali Aviv Shushbinis. What happens if it's the other way around? Not that initially it was the father that sent Shushbinis to someone else, but rather that someone else originally sent Shushbinis to the father, either when the father got married or when he married off one of his kids. So therefore the father was the original recipient of this quote-unquote loan, this Shushbinis. And now, Rachmon Litzlan, the father has passed away, and now we have to go, and that other person that had given the father the money, now he is getting married, so father should have reciprocated. The father is up in Shemayim, Kishi Chayzeris, when we're giving the reciprocity, Chayzeris Mino Emta, then the whole Mishpucha has to go and Shtel Tzu, in other words, the whole Tzvus Sabayis, to pay for that, Shushbinis. Anyway, but we have the Stira from the Mishnah and the Braisa. In the Mishnah we said that the Shushbinis goes back to the entire Mishpacha, and the Braisa says it goes loy to that particular friend. The Gemara is going to bring now three terutzim on this kasha. The first teretz is a very, very difficult teretz, because what the Gemara is going to do is massage a little bit the words of the Mishnah to transform the Mishnah, not into a case where originally father sent funds with a son, the friend, to the chasin, but rather that the case of the Mishnah is like the second case of the Braisa, where the father was the initial recipient of the shushbinas. Father passed away, and now we are returning the shushbinas to the old friend, who's now become the new chasin. And therefore,
when it says in our Mishnah, Ha'achin she'osu miktosin shishbinis b'chayo av, chodu shishbinis chazor li emta, what they're talking about is they are now reciprocating for the loan for the shishbinis that was given to the father when the father was alive, when the father was making chasana, either for himself or for his kids. And now they are reciprocating.
So it means me'emtza rather than lives.
That's exactly right. When it says shishbina chazor li'emtza, it means me'emtza, the whole estate has to go and reciprocate, just like the Braisa said in the second case. Yishchizeres chizeres min ho'emtza. Freyti mora vo'achin she'osu mitzosin shishbina k'tani. And Amish, it certainly sounds like that the Achen did the Shishbinis, meaning that one of them or more of them were the wonderful friends that are doing Shishbinis by traveling to the Mokum Chasana, going to Montreal, going to Toronto, going to Eretz Yisrael for the Chasana, and they brought along the gifts and the money, etc. So Achen should also make us, not that they are the recipients, but these are the people that were the first benefactors, and eventually they will get the benefits of the reciprocity. But that's not how you're learning Pshat the Mishnah. You're saying the Mishnah is talking about a case where father already received, and all they're doing now is they're reciprocating, and now they are giving. Sounds like they are on the giving end at this time in the Mishnah, not that they are on the receiving end. Says Mar today, you have to learn the Mishnah a little bit differently. Limitzasan, not that achin she'osu mitzasan, but achin she'osu limitzasan shishbinis, meaning that one or more of the brothers had been the recipient of shishbinis previously. Not really the brothers; it's really the father of the brothers that previously received that shishbinis, and now when returning it, we're returning it mina emtza to the other side. And then it goes from the entire mishpacha. The chazer shishbinis sounds like we are now reciprocating. The way you're explaining it, you're saying is that they already paid, they already had received the benefits, and now they are paying back. This chazer shishbinis doesn't sound right. So Omar chazer ligvois, nigvois may emta, like the professor pointed out before, that now the father was the original recipient years ago, and now we are reciprocating. So it's not that we are receiving the reciprocity, like the Parshat Pshat in the Mishnah, but now we are reciprocating and we are paying back. We're paying back mina emtza. So the chazra means when the other side wants to be gova, wants to collect, oh, then we have to collect mina emtza. Of course, this pshat is a little bit strained in the Parshat the Lashon of the Mishnah. And therefore we have two other pshatim. The Vasi Omer Loi Kasha, Kam Distan, Kam Din Mefarish. What does it mean, Stam or Mefarish? When father sent Reuven, the friend, to join the Chosin, he sent along a note. What did it say in the note? Just like whenever you send presents, you always send the Mazel Tov and all the rest. So the father also wrote Mazel Tov, and he says, I want you to know, I am designated Reuven to be the friend for these purposes, and this is his shishbinis, and he's sharing it with you as a good friend of the mishpacha, and he's with you. Ah, so if the father expressly said, Reuven, you are the shishbinis guy, and therefore I'm giving the present with you to go and give it to the other side. So then, when the present comes back, reciprocity, it goes back to him, like it said in the Braisa. If, however, the father just said, Mazel Tov, week I couldn't make it, and therefore I chose one of my kids to go and spend time with you for the next few days, and that kid happens to be Reuven, he's just, in a sense, the messenger boy, so to speak, but it's not in his own individual capacity. Rather, he's representing the family. Well, in such a case, that's called Stam. Then it goes L'emtza to the whole Mishpacha. And that makes a lot of sense, because Stam, you're talking the price of a fetish. Sholach. Loy aviv shishbinis kishachayzeres chayzeres loy shalach aviv shishbinis tam kishachayzeres chayzeres the emtza. Was he appointed to be the shishbin, or he was just the messenger representative of the family? Ushmul amashmul says Abba nupshat hacha v'yava maskinan sheina noitel beroy kibem muchsig. What is this all about? What happened was, originally Reuven went to go and share the chasana with his good friend the chos, and now 3 years later, the chosim wants to return the favor and give the money to Reuven. Reuven is shenishda. Why is Reuven shenishda? Nebuchadnezzar.
man instead, there is a Yavam that's marrying now Reuven's wife, former wife, and now that Shimon, who is taken over as the Yavam, he would like to get the reciprocity, get the presents now from the former Chassan, from the original Chassan. So the question is, does he get it? Or does it go to all the brothers? And that's the case that the Gemara is talking about. That's the case of the Mishnah when it says, Chazer, Chazer, Li'emtza. Chazer, Emtza means it goes to the entire Mishpucha. It doesn't go to the Yavam. Reuven not only sent him, but he joined him with the Shushbin. And he took along the money.
Okay. Now Reuven got married and died.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about Shimon's taking over as the Yavam. That's when the Shushbinus.
Okay, so let's again a little patience, and Mitchum will see the case in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara Mechlal. What do we see from this? The Idach, the Chosan Mishalim, that former Chosan has to go and reciprocate. He has to go and pay someone. Our Mishnah says you don't pay the Yavam Shimon, but it goes Le'emtza to Homishbacha. Leima Tnuli Shushbinim Yasmachimai. My good friend was Reuven. If Reuven would still be here, of course I would pay Reuven. But Reuven is in the Oilam Ha'emes. Why should I go and give Shimon? Can Shimon, can Shleida, can Yehuda? Why should I give any of these guys? We have this Svara. What happens if we had a chasana where we only went through the erisin, we didn't go through the nisuin? And what happened? And the husband, the chasin, the orus, gave the arusa a ring, gave money, etc. And unfortunately, the marriage was not consummated. Why wasn't it consummated? We'll see in the Gemara shortly, meishu, meisehi, or maybe they just broke it off, or whatever. So there was some mekaymis where the kala would return to the chosin, or the chosin's the yarshim, or whatever. Makshir actually asked about other places they held on to. Hey, Makshir, the Omer of Yosef Bar Abba, Omer Mar Utva Mishmur, Lo Yishana, when is this whole muck of Yom Bekanish? Elish and Mesehi, when she passed away. Our mace who? If the chosin passed away and the kala has a ring, hey, Machsin, she doesn't have to turn to the yorshim of the chosin. My time. Yechayli isha time, because she can go and say publicly, Tanuli bali b'yasam chimai. It's not my fault that my chosin passed away. Bring him here. I would be happy to do nisuin right today. Let's go to the chuppah. Ich bin mishaldik. So she's allowed to hold on to the money. Zahachanami. So same thing over here. The old chassid who's trying to reciprocate and now pay Reuven. Reuven is dead. So pay Shimon. Well, I don't know Shimon. So give it Le'emta. Hakanami, why doesn't that old chassid say, name it Tnu Lishushbidim Es Machimai? If Reuven were here, I would dance with him. I'd give him the biggest present in the world. Abizil Mishda, I should be off the hook altogether. Amrav Yosef, Hakam Mayeskini, Kigon Shesamach, Imai Zayim, Imai Mishda. So this answers Barry's question of before. What's happening over here? Reuven, the original Shushbin, went to the Chosin for the Chosin. He brought along the beautiful present. And now 3 years later, Baruch Hashem, Reuven became a Chosin. And Reuven gets married. And the original Chosin is dancing with him for the full 7 days in a tanz and a spring to the mach to the tit. At the end of the 7 days, he intended giving him the beautiful present and say, Chosin, look at this beautiful present that I brought for you and your new wife. You should be happy forever and ever in the Nachas and Simchas and all Aleph Bruchas. And unfortunately, at the end of the 7 days, Nebuch Reuven Holach Le'olamai, Nebuch passed away. So there's no Reuven anymore to give the money to. But guess what? Yavam Shimon is on the scene and says, no problem, right after the Shiva, right after the Shloshim, I'm taking off. You can tell me you have to wait at least 3 months, you have to wait 9 months, make sure that she's not pregnant, you want to say, fine, good to cash. But anyway, the point is that Shimon is there in the wings and he wants to take over now the Shushbinas from the original Chosin. Zok the Mishnah, according to this third pshat, nine. Shushbinas is Le'emta and not to Shimon. Why can't he go and say, give me the Chosin the Esmachimai? You were misameach with the Chosin for a full week. That's like a tanzig, you're springing and all the rest. Therefore, now you have to go and give the present, but not to Shimon, but to the rest of the Mishpucha. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai.